There are 7 city blocks in the Seattle, Washington area that have been surrendered to Antifa, presumably beyond the jurisdiction of the laws of the community and the state in which it lies. It is an area unto itself. And how is life in the woketopia? Well, it appears the only time the radical left is okay with folks having guns are when they're the Antifa thugs keeping out the police and the media and those who would want to know what's going on.
Okay, I wouldn't normally play a person to a person. It's kind of, I don't know. It's just a little bit of a weird one. But in this case, I do want to give credit. Matt Gaetz showing a flair for expression, our congressman, woketopia is the word of the week, at least. So congratulations, Congressman, on coming up with my favorite word from the last week. I appreciate that term.
Well, thank you. I guess it comes with a little irony. I'm not quite ready for the woketopia to visit us here in Florida. I actually prefer a society where when you call the police, they'll show up. If you need an ambulance, it doesn't take 3 times longer than necessary. You know, just like the normal things we've come to be used to here in the great panhandle of Florida.
Well, I just wonder if, like, you know, does the water service and the electrical service and the internet and cable and all that, do they have the proper permissions to cross a border and go into the woketopia? That's what I wonder is, are they not violating some kind of international legal restriction by going into what Tucker Carlson called the 196th state? Anyway, you know, these are silly
Doesn't
questions.
Doesn't it have like a certain Occupy Wall Street feel to it all? When they went in New York and just like the hobos and bums just started camping out and occupying, you know, I don't think that in that circumstance we considered like using the National Guard to bust up Occupy Wall Street. Maybe in this case it's just going to peter out, but certainly is a sad thing for the world to see happening in our country.
It very much is. Let's talk a little bit about, you had a hearing last week in the Judiciary Committee, a hearing in which the weirdest of things happened. You got unanimous agreement from your guests that they did not want to defund the police. And Hank Johnson, who, despite being worried about tipping Guam over with stationing troops there, actually said things I agreed with. He advocated for changes with grand juries and with police cases being handled by other jurisdictions, some of which we already do here in Florida. I found myself actually agreeing with him about some of these reforms. You guys are supposed to vote on this bill this week. What's going to be in it? What do you think about the provisions?
If the Democrats will take a few Republican amendments to sand off the rough edges, I think we should pass a bipartisan bill that makes lynching a federal crime, that bans the use of the chokehold. I think we've got other ways to restrain people that aren't as lethal, that create the opportunities for states to share registries on bad cops so they don't just get kind of shuffled around the system. And I think that there are some changes to qualified immunity, maybe not eliminating the qualified immunity that police have, but if there are law enforcement agencies that willfully refuse to do training that we know helps us de-escalate these situations, then perhaps they should be held to a higher level of responsibility. So those are good ideas. Here's where I think we'll hit some red lines.
Congressman, can I pause you for a second? Because
sure.
That last one, you've said something I had not heard anybody else say, and I want to make sure people hear it, because this business about qualified immunity, where police are allowed to do their job and are then not subject to the same kinds of culpability as other people because they need to have a certain kind of protection because they do such dangerous and difficult things, you're offering the idea that the higher level of immunity might be earned in exchange for having done certain kinds of training, and that police departments that refuse to engage in that kind of training should not be eligible for that. I think that's a really important distinction. I'm understanding you, right? Am I?
Yes, that's exactly right. And there's actually some Supreme Court case law that defines the extent to which lack of training can impact qualified immunity. And I think that we can improve on that. I think we know a lot more about the ways in which implicit bias training and de-escalation training can save lives. And we shouldn't allow people to just be willfully ignorant of those opportunities to have better policing. So there are those good ideas, but where I depart from the Democrats is when they embrace reforms that would make our police officers less safe for no real reason. Their current bill, for example, Andrew, would stop our local police departments from being able to purchase surplus military body armor, defensive equipment. I'm not talking about, you know, tanks to roll down Palafox Street. I'm talking about the types of individual personal equipment that can help keep our law enforcement officers safe. So I'm not for, you know, defunding, disarming, and harming the ability of our law enforcement to respond just for the sake of virtue signaling. But I do think there are good ideas the Democrats have come up with. And rather than just demonize them for the worst parts of their bill, I actually want to help them. I'm going to introduce amendments. And if the amendments, you know, that I introduce on Wednesday, for the most part, are adopted and considered and woven into the bill, I'm hopeful to get something to the president that he can sign that can improve policing for everyone.
Yeah, see, this is it's an interesting time because I see Republicans and Democrats interested in reform wanting to really fix the problem. It's merely a question of how can we fix the problem and make sure that we work on it together. Now, in the past, it's been a very adversarial relationship with you and the other members of the Judiciary Committee, and, you know, not much success. Do you get the sense like either the chairman or the leadership in the House is willing to go along with some of these compromises prior to sending to the Senate?
You know, you just never know until you have the hearing. There are times you feel like they want the Republicans to vote against the bill because it helps, you know, the Democrats control their radical left-wing base if they can show that Republicans voted no. But I ultimately think that when you do the big stuff, when you do the major reforms that impact the country, you have to have some level of bipartisanship agreement. I have shown a tendency to break from my party with the Democrats when they've got good ideas. I was the only Republican on the Judiciary Committee and in the Congress to vote for a bill to not let sexual harassers pick their own juries through mandatory arbitration. So where there are ways to treat people fairly, I try to not look at these things from a Republican or Democrat perspective, but just, you know, what's good for the people of our district. And there are improvements that even law enforcement acknowledge we can make to policing, but I'm not going to cut them out of the conversation, and I'm certainly not going to adopt this rhetoric that demonizes all law enforcement. I just don't believe that the actions of a few people impute to every single human being willing to put on the badge and defend our community.
Congressman, you said something on your podcast that I'm so glad you brought up, because it's a very awkward conversation for Republicans to have in this context, and that's the question about police unions. You know, we are historically, typically not big fans of unions. When it comes to places like the VA, you've done a lot to try to get rid of incompetent people, and you work against an institutional memory there. Same thing in teachers. A lot of just you often find us against unions because they seem to want to keep the least qualified people, but we're very pro-cop. And so we're on kind of like uncomfortable territory, because it feels like we're saying the cops are part of the problem when it's the cop unions that might be. How do you unpack this particular aspect of the problem?
We have to strike a balance where unions are strong enough to protect the good whistleblowers who might step forward and identify improper behavior by other people on the force, but at the same time, not a union so strong that it can protect the incompetent, the dangerous, and the chronically, excessive use of force type environment. So, I think that we really have to be careful with this. I haven't found the exact policy remedy, but it's one thing that we're talking to a lot of folks about, because, you know, we certainly don't want to be so pro-cop that we're pro-bad cop, right? While at the same time, you know, if you don't have labor able to protect people who come forward and call out bad behavior, then you might get more bad behavior. So it doesn't lend itself to a bumper sticker answer, and it's one of the more complicated issues we're dealing with. But if you just ignore it, if you just pretend like the union dynamic is not a part of how a force is constructed and maintained, I think you're being naive.
Yeah, no, I agree with all of that, and I agree. It's not an easy remedy, quite frankly. One of the other things that has come up, obviously, in the last week, really come to a head since the protests here in Pensacola, and, you know, across the South and other places, we've had this conversation about monuments. Of course, the Lee Square Monument is the most recent one. You have said, don't take them down, just put more stuff up. Is that your position, particularly on the Lee Square Monument?
Yes, I don't believe we should take down history. I think that obviously throughout the South, Confederate monuments were erected as an act of healing, as a way to create some reconciliation with the South. And I don't think we can whitewash our history by taking down our monuments, the things in history happened. But I do think we can evaluate these events in history with better context, with more understanding. And I think that we can accentuate some of the voices that may have been marginalized throughout history. But this notion that we're just, you know, like I see him taking down Winston Churchill. You know, the anti-fascists are taking down the OG anti-fascists, and I just don't know where it ends. Like, yeah. You know, do we have to get rid of Washington and Jefferson? I see Christopher Columbus getting taken down. The guy, you know, wasn't perfect, but he shaped human history in a pretty significant way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Last question I wanted to ask you about, it's been one we've been reporting a bunch over the weekend, is your position on soccer, USA Soccer. You said you want to introduce a bill to take away the allowance for people to kneel during the anthem. I agree with you, but the people who respond with, hey, coerced patriotism is not patriotism, how would you answer those people?
We shouldn't coerce anyone to play soccer, but those who want to play under our national flag should stand for the flag. This is not some club team. This is not the NFL. These are the people chosen to serve on America's national team. And I don't think it's too much to ask that there be an acknowledgement that America is a good country. My problem with the kneeling is that it's just such an overgeneralized indictment of America. I do think that there are opportunities for protests and speech, even critical speech, that can improve our country. But When you act as though America itself isn't worth standing for and you're on our national team, I think it has just a very like morose effect on the country. And I think we could do better.
Yeah, there's something really weird about being willing to wear the flag on the jersey but not being willing to stand to honor it when it's just something kind of odd about all of that. I agree. Well, Matt Gaetz, he is our congressman for District 1, Northwest Florida. Congressman, thanks so much for the time, sir. We'll talk to you again soon. And by the way, congratulations on qualifying for the election.
Oh, thanks so much, Andrew. I appreciate it.